Amen. Please be seated. If you have your Bible or your Bible app with you, I invite you to join me in John chapter 10. We're going to be looking this morning at John chapter 10, verses 11 through 21. Last week, we considered together Jesus' claim to be the gate, and today we continue in that metaphor with a consideration of Jesus as our good shepherd. I'll begin reading now in John chapter 10 and verse 11. Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed and raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?" Please pray with me. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks today as we've gathered together in worship. We thank you for your presence here and your invitation to join you. We thank you for this place to worship, and we thank you for the people who surround us. We thank you for this imagery of sheep and shepherd. It pervades Scripture, and as we've noticed in the course of our worship today, it pervades our songs and our hymns as well. We are so thankful for this imagery, and in these next few minutes as we focus upon it, we ask that you deepen our understanding. And so in these next few minutes, give us eyes to see just what you want us to see in your text. Give us hearts that are soft and ready to receive whatever you choose to reveal. And give us courage and conviction to apply everything that we see and understand. I pray all of these things now in Jesus' name. Amen. So wait a second. We're being called sheep. Did I hear that right? Are you excited in this congregation to be called sheep? Is that an imagery that you aspire to? It probably isn't. That's what so many people feel when the Bible starts talking about sheep and shepherds. And maybe the offense makes sense. Because when you stop and think about sheep, they panic easy. They're known for being, and Janessa said the really nice things. I'm going to say the parts we don't like to identify with. They panic easy. They're known for being incredibly stubborn animals. They're motivated almost entirely by their appetite, and they are big into headbutting. So we look at this imagery of sheep, and we think, what in the world? But if we're not careful, we can get sidetracked from this beautiful image by our resistance to that label. The main point here, the main point in all that Jesus is teaching, is the shepherd. This is about the good shepherd, not about sheep. And so what is it that makes Jesus our good shepherd? I want to spend the next few minutes highlighting four things that we can treasure about our good shepherd and what he does for us. The first is that Jesus provides what we need. Jesus provides what we need. And perhaps the best picture of this provision is found in Psalm 23. So in the next couple minutes, I invite you to sit back and listen to these familiar words from Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The psalm begins with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing," or in the traditional King James, "I shall not want." And what Jesus goes on to describe, or what the psalmist describes of Jesus, is what Jesus has just said in John 10, verse 10, at the end of last week's passage, that he has come to give us life and life to the full. And listed within these six short verses are five ways that our good shepherd Jesus brings contentment to each of our lives. Let me describe it this way. We won't lack rest when Jesus is our good shepherd. I like the words of the psalmist. He makes me lie down in green pastures. Sometimes we need an invitation, or even we need to be made to lie down in order to get the rest that we need. But our good shepherd makes sure that we won't lack that rest. We also won't lack the guidance that we need. And who among us doesn't desire more guidance in our day-to-day decisions, and especially in the larger ones that can alter the course of our lives? We won't lack safety, we're told. A key role of the Good Shepherd is the protection of the flock, the protection of us, his beloved. We won't lack anything we need, verse 5 tells us. There's sort of an umbrella that comes after the other provisions that says, anything that you need, even if it hasn't been mentioned by name, it will be provided through the care of your good shepherd. And finally, we won't lack a heavenly home. This is a nod toward eternity. Sometimes we get stuck only in eternity and forget that our salvation begins the moment we believe. The provision, the protection, all of his care starts right at the start. But we also don't want to lose sight on the fact that we have a heavenly home that our good shepherd is leading us toward every step of the way. And so to begin with, Jesus provides what we need. Our good shepherd provides what we need. Secondly, our good shepherd Jesus protects us. We read in verse 11 of John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. This is a reminder that Jesus will not abandon us. He mentions the hired hands, and it's a reference to Jeremiah 23. In Jeremiah 23, there's discussion of those who are hired to protect the flock versus those who own that flock and who care for that flock in a sacrificial manner. And Jesus highlights that when the danger comes, the thieves, the robbers, the wolves, the one who is the hired hand reveals how devoted they really are by abandoning that flock, by running away in the moment when they need that protection the most. Jesus emphasizes, even in the face of danger, even in the face of death, I will protect you. He also says that he offers his life voluntarily. He's not forced to do this, but he risks his life by his own choice and through his own love. And so Jesus provides what we need. Jesus protects us. And then in verse 14, we're told that our good shepherd Jesus knows us. He says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. This points us back to verses 1 to 5 that we looked at last week. We talked about those two different kinds of enclosure, the wilderness enclosure where Jesus said, I am the gate, and he protects the sheep by literally laying his body across the opening. But there was also the permanent enclosure that shepherds would often take their sheep back to. And these permanent enclosures were big enough that multiple flocks, sometimes in a Palestinian setting, up to 8 to 9 flocks would be led into the same enclosure. And if you remember that flocks are about 100 sheep, almost 1,000 sheep could be teeming around inside this one enclosure, overseen by 8 to 9 different shepherds. But this is the beauty of that mention of the voice. When it was time to move back out into the pasture the following day, in the morning, each of those shepherds would line up, and as they opened the gate to the enclosure, they would step up one by one and in their own voice call out for their sheep. And you'd see heads pop up from the sheep that are from their flock. And those sheep come running out no matter where they happen to be in that expanse. And one by one, each of the shepherds comes, and flock by flock, they gather to their shepherd as they move back into the wilderness and to the provision that they need. It's a picture of beautiful intimacy and trust between this shepherd and their sheep. And I think, once again, it's a little bit difficult for us to understand because not many of us in this room have a pet sheep at home. We don't relate to sheep in this way. But it's been suggested by a number of different theologians that probably the best way for us to understand this dynamic is to imagine the way that we, in the United States of America, have a relationship with a dog or a cat that is our own. Wow. Think about the kinds of relationships we have with our pets. Think about the love and the intimacy. Think about the way in which we choose to care for these pets, providing what they need, protecting them from danger, caring for them in this sort of intimate way. It's been suggested that that is exactly what the relationship was like between a first century Palestinian shepherd and their sheep. And so that is what Jesus is telling us. That is the way he knows us and cares for us. And so, our good shepherd Jesus provides what we need. Our good shepherd Jesus protects us. Jesus knows us. And finally, in verse 16, we're told that Jesus knows other sheep. He says this curious thing in verse 16. He says, I have other sheep, not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen. This verse has baffled scholars and theologians since the moment it was discovered in the scriptures, trying to understand exactly what Jesus is talking about. There's so little said here except for that statement that he offers. Some have said, well, what he's doing is he's talking about Gentiles, because the Jewish faith obviously focused on the Jewish people from the beginning, but upon Jesus' earthly ministry, it began to expand to the point where in the book of Acts, as we see the church beginning, now this gospel, this promise, all that is a part of this faith is offered to everyone in the world. If you weren't a Jew, you were a Gentile. Gentiles include everybody else. But others have said maybe this has to do with something beyond even just the Christian religion. Maybe it has to do with other religions, people coming from other religions who have seen Jesus, heard about Jesus, placed their faith in Jesus, even from that context outside of the Christian faith. Maybe just because where they grew up, where they were born, there was a different religious system in place. There are some as well who suggest that this might be Jesus talking about the entire human race. I have other sheep. They are not of this pen. They hear my voice. They will respond to Jesus. We don't know for sure. And you've probably picked up by now that I am not a fan of pretending we know for sure when we don't know for sure from the scriptures. I think if Jesus intended for us to completely understand this, he would have explained more. He would have detailed it more. But instead, he drops this mysterious line to get us thinking, to help us to imagine that maybe this whole enterprise, maybe this sheep and shepherd idea is far bigger than we have ever imagined it could be. And in my experience, the love of our God, the redemption of our God always surprises me by how big it is. Jesus says, these others are his sheep. And he says, there is one flock and there is one shepherd. And I can't wait to know exactly what he was talking about in this place. One last thought before we leave this imagery of the good shepherd behind. Indeed, Jesus is our good shepherd, the one who provides, who protects, who knows, who has other sheep. But one last thought is offered to us at the end of John chapter 7 in verses 27 and 28 that is a beautiful way to leave this text. In Jesus' care, we know that we will always remain safe and secure, and listen to these words. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Could you hear more beautiful words? In an insecure world, a world where nations are at war, a world where we don't even know what will happen tomorrow, a world that can leave us feeling lost and disoriented, Jesus, our good shepherd, speaks these words through the ages to bring calm to our heart, confidence in his love, and a knowledge that no matter what we face, no matter what will come, we are his, and no one can change that. Please pray with me. Lord Jesus, help us to sink into the security that you promise in these verses. These are difficult times that we live in. Difficult worldwide, difficult in our nation, difficult in our communities, and difficult in each of our lives. We come into this space to worship today with all of that burden upon our shoulders, and we come to you, our good shepherd, knowing with confidence that you will meet those needs. Knowing with confidence that you can calm our souls. Knowing with confidence that you will lead us to all the places we need to be, protecting us and providing for everything that we need. And so care for us, Jesus. Keep us from being too stubborn. Keep us from fighting with one another. Keep us from distrusting you in the ways that you've called us to live in this world. Lead us, and we will follow. How we thank you, Jesus, that you are our good shepherd. We pray this now in your name. Amen.